Emerson Show. The new album, Sex, Love, Rock and Roll, Social Distortion. I saw the video for this the other day on the Headbangers Ball of all things, which is like not a place where Social Distortion should be. Not a whole lot, just them performing. I think it's in Orange County. It's just them performing somewhere near. I said it was like outside of Anaheim or something. Anyway, great song, great video, great record. 503-535-9100. 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. Don't forget, as of today, we are two weeks away. For the next Rick Emerson Listener Party, Listener Party 8.
Here's the money that I owe you.
Thank you. Coming up Friday, April 15th. You know, every time we play that, an angel gets his wings. Coming up Friday, April 15th at 8 p.m. at the Viper Room on 7th and Hawthorne. See, listen to me hit the post there, even talking about the party.
Fear me and my post-hitting ability.
It's a great song. You know, this record didn't do a whole lot for me when it first came out. I liked that Reach for the Sky song. But the more I hear this song, the more I love it.
I love every song on this entire album. It's one you can listen straight through to.
I was sort of a nonplussed by it initially, but I'm digging it quite a lot. Anyway, 2 weeks from today, though, we got Listener Party 8, which is coming up Friday, April 15th, 8 p.m. at the Viper Room on 7th and Hawthorne. It's big stuff because it is our very first Friday Listener Party. Which is going to bring a whole bunch of people out, haven't been able to come before. Of course, all the cast and crew of the Rick Emerson Show are going to be there. We're doing a dead celebrity costume contest. That's happening in the first hour of the party. People keep asking when it's taking place. Now, of course, it's not a costume party as such. Like, you don't have to come in a costume if you don't want to. But we are doing a costume contest for best dead celebrity. That is happening in the first hour of the party. That's happening at around 8:30. So you don't want to be late. You don't want to put off coming. You don't want to show up later on in the evening because, you know, if it gets past you, they're not going to be able to get in, and then there's going to be recriminations and loathing and bitterness and so forth. So that's happening in the first hour. All kinds of stuff all the way through the second hour, and then at 10 p.m., a special live broadcast of the Rick Emerson Show from the Viper Room, which is going to be carried right here on Max 910 that Friday night at 10 p.m. It's our very first Portland live broadcast. So we'll have more about it as the next couple weeks unfold, but you want to make a note of that right now, especially because it's Friday. It's going to be busy. It's going to be all kinds of things going on there. So that is 2 weeks from today. Listener Party 8 at the Viper Room at 8 p.m., capping with a live broadcast of the Rick Emerson Show.
You don't want to miss it. It's gonna be a huge thing. We're not gonna have time today to get to this pop culture quiz, but I'm gonna set it aside because we're gonna do it
early next week. The Great American Pop Culture Quiz, and this is the movie edition. I'd like to do it today, but I'm just not sure that we're gonna have time to do it.
Well, maybe we can later.
We might with Scott Daly. So we'll file it away. We might get to it in a short while. We'll talk about this R. Kelly song here in just a second, and then we'll do the top five. Hold on, we're getting, do we have a breaking news sounder?
They dined at the Pink Taco.
Thank you. That seems really inappropriate. CNN's reporting the Pope is dead. That was perhaps
you're supposed to tell me these things. I just hit a button.
I
do have the Pope speaking.
Straight to hell. That would be wrong.
Oh, okay.
Well, go ahead.
Well, it is
other words of the Holy Father. We're getting ready to play here. Hold on, let me.
Like a holy blessing.
So sort of a final blessing. It's like the Pope's final thought, like Springer. Let's see here. All right. Okay, go ahead.
A deeper understanding between the United Nations.
All right, so there you go. So breaking news: Pope John Paul II has died at the age of 237. So there you go. So there you go. You know, he did his job. He was there. He lived a long life. And now he's dead.
How old is he really?
84, I think.
Oh, I thought he was a lot older than that. My grandma's pretty spry, and she's like 88.
No, the Pope was not anybody's idea. There was no definition of the word spry that would apply to Pope John Paul II. He hadn't been spry. I mean, In his own defense, you know, you get shot a couple times and then get Parkinson's, you're not going to be very spry either. You're not going to be hopping. You're not going to be an American Bandstand anytime soon. So there you go. So the good news for us is, I mean, this, you know, the good news for us is that it's happened today on a Friday, because I don't want to get, there's only so much we can say about the Pope having passed away. But so Saturday and Sunday, those who are interested in hearing lots of Pope news and watching lots of Pope news, you'll have two uninterrupted days now where the networks will swap out their Shibo coverage. I mean, all they'll really have to do is, you know, they'll just have to change the Chiron. And they'll swap out the Shibo news for the Pope news for a couple of days, and Monday we will be back to our normal thing. But it is worth noting here, passing along, that according to CNN.com, that Pope John Paul II has died after a long illness of some kind. I just don't know, because Parkinson's itself doesn't kill you, does it? I don't know anything about this. I think Parkinson's is just a motor skills thing, but I don't think Parkinson's is in and of itself fatal. I think it just makes you wobbly and stuff.
Hmm.
But again, it's like he got all shot up, and I know that he had bad breathing and whatnot going on, and he went all, like, as soon as the news reports, as they did last night, that you've gone septic. Going septic is never good. That's not a thing that's ever going to increase your lifespan. So Pope John Paul II has passed away at the age of 84. So there'll be news about that on any news station you choose all throughout the weekend, if that's a thing you wish to be part of. All right, there you go. It's 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. Here's what's coming up. Jolie's going to be here. And I swear to you, I didn't know she was going to talk about this, but she's calling me in the hallway to talk about this. Jolie's got some... She catched me in the hallway like 2 minutes ago, like right before I come back in to do this segment, and she says, "Have you heard about those women who sell their eggs?" And that's all she said. And then she kind of nodded and pointed a little finger at herself, as if to imply that applied to her in some way. So that'll be happening. All right, and we'll do the top five in just a moment, brought to you by our good friends at Wentworth Chevy Town. Do you have that R. Kelly song?
Oh, my friend, it is queued up and ready to go.
All right, give me just 1 second to bring this up. But this is a thing that Lara hipped me to, and I don't know what she was doing listening to the jam, and that seems really wrong. But she went off to work last night around 11:45 at night. My phone rings like 2 minutes after she leaves the house. She says, "Turn on Jammin' right now." And I turn it on, and they'd just gone to a commercial or a jingle or something. And she's like, "Have you heard this song that Jammin's playing, this R. Kelly song about sex in the kitchen?" And I had not. I had not heard it. But you know how every so often you hear a song that you think is a joke? You think that it can't be, like, if the song is so friggin' silly that there's no way it can be serious? This is a top five we've been threatening to do for a long time, about the top five most Spinal Tap moments in rock, like the top five most inadvertently ludicrous moments in rock and roll, and we've never done it. But I mean, in as much as R&B can be considered anything, you know, is considered Spinal Tap esque, this certainly counts. So this is, I had to double and triple check to make sure that this was a real song, that they weren't just screwing with us by playing a song that was fake. It's not enough that he was doing that whole "let me put my key in your ignition" thing.
So this isn't like a Dave Chappelle rewrite of R. Kelly song?
No, I mean, that's why I looked it up on the net to make sure that it's a real song. So this is called "Sex in the Kitchen" by R. Kelly. Go ahead and play this. All this little missing is that little thing right at the beginning. Or that sound.
You're in the kitchen cooking me a meal. Something makes me want to come in there and get a feel. Walk around in your t-shirt, nothing else on. Strut me past switching.
You know, I didn't think that it was, I mean, when I heard that whick sound at the beginning, I thought it was fake.
Vegetables and potatoes.
I'm sorry, we missed it. You have to back up where he rhymes tomatoes with potatoes. I'm sorry, that's my fault. I'm talking right over it there.
Something makes me want to come in there and get a feel. Walk around in your t-shirt with nothing else on. Strut me past.
Okay, I won't block the line this time.
Burning up
are tomatoes, fruits and vegetables and potatoes. Girl, you look so sexy, why you doing a damn thing? I want sex in the kitchen, over by
Wait
the
for
stove.
It.
I want put you on the counter, by the butter rolls. Hands on the
Put you on the counter, by the buttered rolls.
We'll be making love like the restaurant was closed.
Making love like the restaurant was closed.
Would you like that? Tell me right now. Girl, you're in the kitchen, chilling in your robe. I'm saying to myself, she better go put on some clothes. Tickling and teasing, doing that little dance. Girl, you're gonna make me lay you down and give it to you one more kiss. Turning out tomatoes, fruits and vegetables and potatoes. Girl, you look so sexy, why you doing a damn thing? I want sex in the kitchen, over by the stove. I want you on the counter, by the butter rolls.
Right by the butter rolls.
Hands on the table, on your tippy toes. We'll be making love like the restaurant was closed.
Yeah. Can you imagine a guy trying to seduce you with this?
On the counter, by the buttered rolls. Hands on the table.
Buttered rolls. Okay, wait for it. Big break.
What I'm ready to do. Girl, I'm ready to so silent.
The kitchen sweating up a storm. Oven's on 500, so you know the kitchen's warm. Girl, you know just how to get into a brother's mind. Here we are still in his kitchen, doing it for the third time. Tomatoes, fruits and vegetables and potatoes. Girl, you look so sexy, doing a damn thing that I want. Sex in the kitchen,
oh,
put you on the counter by the butter,
right by the butter roll.
Oh, we'll make it love like the restaurant.
Restaurant was closed.
Over by
You and me, baby.
All right.
Baby.
There you go. We can. There you go. By the stove, put you on the counter. By the buttered rolls. There you go. That apparently is a real song.
That's messed up, dude.
She goes, you have to turn on the radio and hear
that
this horrible
is so
thing. That's
wrong.
Well, can you imagine? I mean, look, it's been a long
time.
Did
they bleep that?
I don't know. I don't know what they bleep, what they don't. But, I mean, I got to tell you this. It's been a long time since I was a teenager trying to put the moves on some girl. But I can't imagine trying to get a girl in the mood by playing a song. Well, first of all, you've got her in the kitchen cooking for you. And secondly, you're trying to rhyme stove with potatoes, or no, with buttered rolls, and tomatoes with potatoes. I mean, it's like I've always said about the Barry White. God love Barry White and his contributions to American music, but I can't fathom a girl listening to that and not just bursting out laughing. It does seem like a thing that would just induce giggling more so than any sort of sexual excitement, but... What do I know? Our good friend Wilton joins us in the Rick Emerson Show. How are you, sir?
Hey, Rick. I've always talked to you about your being the soul challenged. But
I am soul deprived. It is true.
You spotted that one right off the bat. That has got to be the worst song I've ever heard before in my life.
Do you think that R. Kelly's just screwing with us? Do you think that he just goes in and goes, let's see what these fools will buy this week? You know what I mean? It's got to be... I think he has a bet with somebody, or something about like what he can get, you know, what he's able to sell and what he's not.
Well, I'm kind of with Sarah that maybe Dave Chappelle did write that.
Yeah, have you heard his rendition of?
We have to bleep that. We have to bleep that.
I know.
I know. All right.
No, you didn't do anything bad.
No,
don't worry.
Not you. It's the man.
All right.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you. All right. There you go.
Yeah, do you ever watch Dave Chappelle?
Yeah, but not as often as I should.
Have you ever seen him spoof R. Kelly?
I have not.
Oh, man, I have a few of those episodes TiVo'd. You'll
fantastic.
Have to watch it.
All right.
It's unbelievably funny.
I know that CD Game Exchange, 5 locations, one near you, they sell Chappelle on DVD.
And perhaps R. Kelly in the $1 bin.
Yes. I mean, it just seems ludicrous to me that you would try to put a girl in the sex-you-up mood. Talking about putting her on the counter by the rolls. Rick, okay, so now we've got somebody claiming the CNN report was wrong.
Rick, CNN just took the breaking news alert down. I guess we'll only be able to tell by the smoke signals. F Matt with CNN being wrong.
This F Matt is brought to you by Barfly Magazine.
All right, so maybe the Pope's dead. Look, between you and me, we know the Pope's dead. The Pope's probably been dead since yesterday. So,
Yahoo News is still reporting him dead.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. C-mail
no
says,
confirmation from the Vatican, though.
Rick, me and my lady got it on three times while you played that song. There's this email. What else do we have here? All right, there's a bunch of other crap. Shall we do the top five here?
Why, sure.
Okay, let's do the top five. We're going to run a little late, but that's just the way it is today, Buttercup. Okay. So roll the top five, then Joel and Scott Daly.
3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count, don't you?
All right, it's your top five brought to you by the good folks at Wentworth Chevy Towns, 2 minutes outside of downtown, 5.5 blocks of automobiles.
All right.
Now this is... This is the top five we meant to get through yesterday, and we did not. Now, I'm going to give you, first of all, I'm going to give you the disclaimer up front, which is this is not a top five compiled by myself. This is a top five compiled by VH1, a top five that is wrong, a top five that's inaccurate. Even if we accept VH1's rather elastic definition of what metal is, this top five is somewhat inaccurate. And as I said yesterday, I boiled down the problem with all of these VH1 list shows, is that they're never commented on by anybody in the same field. In other words, their movie lists never have anybody from the film industry commenting, and their music lists never have guys and bands or musicians commenting. It's always just, you know, it's always just some guy from Joey, you know, and like a hack comedian on there. So, given that as a disclaimer, these are the top five worst metal songs of all time, according to the folks at VH1 Television. Honorable mention at number 6. Rocking and Holy Rolling. Striper with Honestly. I can't get away from this song lately. It's over at Joni's house. This comes up on her iTunes jukebox thing. Flip by VH1, it's on. It's a big... where did I read that article the other day? Speaking of all things Christian, we're receiving news that Tim Riley is on the phone with the Pope. Tim Riley in the Max 910 Mobile Newsroom. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing okay. You know, somebody at the AP and CNN jumped the gun. The Pope is still alive. I just heard that his heart and brains are still functioning.
So is he all alive or just sort of alive?
Just his heart and brains?
His heart and brains are still functioning, but the rest of him... So technically, he's not dead yet.
So he's mostly dead, but not completely dead.
Right.
All right.
Heart and brains are still going just fine.
All right, excellent. All right, well...
The rest of them isn't doing as well as one might hope.
All right. So we'll keep people apprised and abreast of the situation, I guess.
Yes, we will.
Great, thank you. Tim Riley in the Max 910 Mobile Newsroom. There you go. Friend for always... This guy's name was, what the hell was his name, Robert?
This is a guy?
Oh, yeah. Striper? Oh, they're all men, sort of. The best thing about Striper is the big, huge, blinking neon cross they had above the stage, and then a huge, like, 5 feet high, blinking 777, because, you know, they're one up on the devil.
Yeah. Oh, that's clever.
And then they would toss Bibles into the audience.
Wouldn't that hurt?
Probably. I got an email from somebody one time who got one of the Striper Bibles. We're like in the crowd and like wham, Bible in the face from those guys. And then I don't know whether they ever did it or not, but there were always, when I was in eighth or ninth grade, and I was going to a Catholic school when this song came out, of course, and this was like the only metal that we were officially allowed to listen to. And so we all had a Striper tape in our possession that we could use as a distraction to prevent the teachers from spotting, like, whatever, like we had a Wham cassette or something, which is like you were not allowed to listen to. Like you couldn't have a Prince cassette. So you would carry a Striper cassette and you would put your real music inside of it. It's like my friend Carl would stick his Metallica tapes inside Striper. You know, like if you had like a Madonna tape or anything like that, you put it inside the Striper. But we always heard these rumors when I was in school that Striper and Motley Crue were going to tour together and it was going to be like a heaven and hell tour, and I don't think it ever happened.
And these guys totally had the full-on, the big poofy poodle hair, the spandex, and then the priest collar. Yeah. Top five worst metal songs of all time. Number five.
Winger. She's only 17.
Kip Winger's one of those guys that all the metal dudes hated. It's a terrible song. For no reason other than the fact that he was like this really good-looking guy with a perfectly white smile and a lot of chest hair that he kept wanting to show off to everybody. Paul Stanley can get away with that because he's the star child. Kip Winger, it's like he put some sort of activator on his chest to make the hair poof out even more. You know what I mean? It's terrible. This should be our R. Kelly thing. Yeah, it's our Lolita watch right here. I remember sitting in driver's ed class in high school, and the big perk of driver's ed was considered the really hip class to take because they piped the radio into the classroom. And so you would sit there, because, you know, you never learned anything in class. You just had to fill out, like, packets and fill in the blanks questions, like mimeograph sheets all day. But they would pipe in the local rock station into the classroom. And I just remember this constantly playing while I was sandwiched between a girl named Crystal with huge, huge Aquanet hair and a guy named Gary who'd hacked up his mom with a machete. While he was high on acid. True story. Number four on the top five worst metal songs of all time. From the Flesh and Blood album Poison on Skinny Bop. Yeah, boy, it's amazing how quickly music changed. In the blink of one flannel-clad eye. Nothing was ever quite the same again. This riff is completely stolen, by the way, from Lynyrd Skynyrd's I Know a Little, for those who are playing the home game. All I remember is this video where there's Bret Michaels is dancing with the terrible animated women on the screen. There's like these awful cartoon animated chicks on the screen that he's like, he's dancing on with, dancing with or doing the thing. An awful song. I guess I don't disagree with this list as much as I thought I did. I love Poison and all, but let's not you and I confuse this with good. Top five. Oh, do I have to wait for the breakdown? Oh, I'm sorry. Here we go. All right. Top five worst metal songs of all time. Number three. Kiss. Forever. How embarrassing that this is even Kiss. Seriously.
Why didn't they play this at their concert?
Because it's crap. Because it's ass.
It's so romantical.
I mean, blood-spitting, levitating, fire-breathing demons from rock and roll hell. And this is really what they came. And this was their biggest hit since Beth. It was their biggest hit since, like, 15 years. This is probably still their biggest chart hit of all time. Wait for it. And in this video, Gene Simmons is playing a rose-colored bass. In this video, Gene Simmons is sitting on a stool playing a pink bass guitar.
Wow.
And he's fat.
I thought this was like Richard Marx or something.
You know who wrote this song?
No.
With Paul Stanley.
Michael Bolton?
I celebrate the guy's entire catalog.
Did I guess correctly?
Yeah, this song was co-written by Michael Bolton.
Oh, my God.
That was the lowest point for all Kiss fans. The absolute rock bottom. After that, the reunion was inevitable because they'd gone as low as they could go. It was time for a bounce back.
Your other music low should remember be the Simple Plan / Motley Crue travesty.
Let's not talk about that. I've moved on from that. Yeah, Gene Simmons. And just look at that fat boy. I mean, just pudgy as all get out, sitting on a stool playing a pink bass guitar.
So is this when the makeup was off?
Paul Stanley in, like, tight black leather pants with buckskin fringe down the side, in, like, cowboy boots that went up to his knees, prancing around like a little sissy boy, which is kind of what he is, even though we love him. It's the worst song. It's so terrible. Oh!
It really does sound like Richard Marx. It sounds like that Mr. Big song, too. Ugh. Knights in Satan's Service should never sound like this. Top five worst metal songs of all time, number two. What can you say about this song? Seriously, what else is there to say about this? This is what it is. This is sort of the ice baby of the metal world. You know, it's terrible, but the same things that make this terrible make this great. No, that's the Scorpions that did Winds of Change. This is... These guys have no shame. They don't feel any guilt. They're not embarrassed by anything. There's no irony. There's no winking and nudging. And the worst metal song of all time, according to VH1.
This song is awesome.
Hello, Portland!
Doesn't love this.
Everyone loves this song. And you know why they call this the worst metal song of all time? Because it gets stuck in your head for days and days and days. Stuck in your head and under your skin like it's some sort of Rocky Mountain tick.
I saw this VH1 episode with all them giving their snide comments about this band.
Well, that's what I mean. Look.
Everyone loves this.
Here's the thing. Everybody knows. This is why I don't watch those VH1 countdown shows anymore. Because, you know what it is? It's a bunch of nitwits that have never been in a band, never written a song, never had a hit, who've never written anything that people know or like or love or sing. It's some, it's just some a-hole from Queer as Folk sitting there babbling on about why he's better than some guy in Kiss.
You should totally have this as your show open theme.
That's not... This show?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Oh, come on.
And
you could be like the end live from Portland.
No. Look,
on the banks of the feces-filled Willamette River.
I'm here to defend the metal at all, but let's be clear about some things that aren't going to happen. Maybe we should do that next day. Maybe each day next week we should have a different opener. Because remember we did that top five songs I almost used to open the show? And there's more. You know, there's five or six other songs that were contenders to be the opening theme for this show. Maybe each day next week we can open the show with a different theme. These guys actually had some other hits too. They had that song Carrie, and they had I Ain't Superstitious. That was their big follow-up to this. Everybody. All right. Back after this on the Rick Emerson Show. 503-535-9100. We're going to talk about Sin City coming up later on. And the worst four words you could possibly hear in a movie theater. You stay there. We'll be back.
Attention, FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your morning show prep begins now. And now, live from Portland, on the banks of the feces-filled Willamette River, from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studio of Max 910, Talk Radio for Guys... This is the Rick Emerson Show.
I'm waiting for a post. We have to do some radio edit of this, clearly. Like on the TV simulcast, where it shows me... stacking my papers and getting ready to look into the camera. 1 minute and 16 seconds after the hour of 11, and this the month of April of the year of our Lord. Come on! 2005. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from the plushly appointed studios of Max Dodge and Dog Radio Scott. Here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It's pretty much the worst thing I've ever heard.
That was seamless, and you know it.
All right. So, I... Rick, I'm dancing like Joe Bluth over here. Says the Seema, you've got to stop it. Don't forget, this is Job Stage Meeting. That's right. On Arrested Development, which is currently the finest sitcom on television.
Oh, you, did you see the one where his brother's his magician, or his assistant magician, with Ben Stiller in it?
No, no. I'm like two episodes behind.
Dude, it was funny.
Yeah, I... it's hilarious. All right. So fantastic. All right, 1-877-535-9100 or 503-535-9100. Thank you. Thank you for coming by. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from filmfever.org. Scott Daly joining us in the studio today. How are you, sir?
I am doing ducky.
Is it because the... Is it because of the Europe?
Yeah, it's in my head and I can't seem to get
Final countdown right there, baby.
And I can't help but seeing Job on stage with his swords and arms flailing.
With the sword dance?
funny stuff, yes.
All right, we got this. Rick, according to, and then he has a news story here. On official Catholic site, the Pope's heart stopped briefly this morning, so he was dead. Maybe Miracle Max stopped by with a chocolate-coated pill. Thank you. Don't laugh. It's wrong to laugh. I'm laughing at... Why is it that when I say not to laugh, that somehow is a big laugh line for everybody?
Because it's the Pope.
Well, no, it's the Prince's Bride. That's why it's funny.
Well,
that's
true, yeah. But
and it looks
still.
Like the Pope is still alive, so...
Well, that's good.
Yahoo still says he's dead.
What? What? Didn't something like this happen a while back to you?
Yeah, we just refreshed, and he's still dead.
No.
Wait. No, his condition went from dead to worsen.
How does it worse after being dead, like he's dead and being eaten by fire ants?
Italian media gives contradictory reports of Pope's status. Sure, the Italian media.
He's been dead for a week.
I figure he's in some hyperbaric chamber somewhere.
Probably.
He's being put in a Futurama jar as we speak, probably. But, all right.
This happens when...
So first he was dead. First he was dead, and then his condition worsened.
Yes.
So I guess that's... Never mind. I'm not even going to say it. All right. Well, we'll figure something out. Before we bring on Jolie, and we got to talk about Sin City as well, and we're going to we'll talk about the worst four words I've ever heard in a movie theater. We'll do that here in a little while. And we got some stuff to give away as well. We've got some lobby cards. And if you don't know what lobby cards are, Scott, you want to just explain what a lobby card is for people. And these are very cool, actually. These are collectibles because they're Japanese lobby cards for American films. Very cool looking.
They're very cool looking. A very good friend of mine who lives in Japan was in town for a couple of days. He's getting married here in June. He came to town with his fiancée to get things settled. And whenever he comes, he brings me a stack of Japanese lobby cards. Now, lobby cards are cards that the film studios put in lobbies of theaters to kind of help advertise upcoming films, promotional things. They don't do it so much in America, but they do it in Japan and other countries.
They're like
to kind
smaller,
of hype it up a little bit.
And they're like smaller, more artistic versions of posters. They're like, you know what they are? They're sort of a much slicker version of a band flyer.
Yeah, they're very cool. I've got some ones for Lord of the Rings here. I've got one for Once Upon a Time in Mexico, Chronicles of Riddick,
Kill Bill.
So Freddy vs. Jason, which is a very cool one.
That's a great look. I might actually just
Freddy on the back.
I might just take that one.
So some very cool stuff.
So we'll give those away later on. Let's talk to Travis, who's a first-time caller on the Rick Emerson Show. Travis, how can I help you, sir?
Hi there, Rick. I know it's a little off topic because you guys already passed it, but I just wanted to remind you that Europe was not only awesome for the Final Countdown, but followed up with a great Rock Now, Rock the Night, and the vaguely racist Cherokee.
Rock the Night. I don't remember Rock the Night.
Nor Cherokee.
Why don't you bust out a little Rock the Night for us?
Rock Now, Rock the Night, whoa!
That wasn't Europe. Was that Europe?
Yes, it was. I had the cassette. As a matter of fact, I got busted at Port Vancouver High School and had to stand up in front of the class and explain what I was listening to on my headphones. I had to tell everybody I was listening to Europe.
Okay, I remember that song, but I didn't know that was Europe.
Oh, yeah, it was all on the Final Countdown tape.
Okay, then I'll bust out one. We're having a Europe sing-off here. Hold on. So if you did the Rock the Night, how about the... Let's see. And if the mirror should break, it's easy to take.
Now, see, that one, I don't remember that one.
You know I'll be there, because I ain't superstitious.
Oh, I don't remember that one at all.
And then they had Carrie, of course. That's the other big song. Here's a little secret from me to you. Here's a little inside. I'm pulling back the curtain for a moment and breaking the fourth thing. Carrie by Europe was going to be our Carrie Watch theme. Had Carrie won the election, that's what we were going to use to that. Carrie.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
That was going to be our Carrie Watch theme had John pulled it out somehow. But sadly, no.
If you ever manage to catch the video for Rock the Night, it's the whole group of Europe sitting around a table in a diner just, like, slamming their fists on the table and singing a rock song as loud as they could.
And it's Denny's at 2 a.m.
Sitting there at a pig and pancake trying to rock it out. Fantastic. Hey, you're a first-time caller. How'd you discover the show here?
Oh, I've been listening to you for years.
Excellent.
I've been in and out of the Portland area since I was a kid. And just heard the final countdown, and oh, wow, it took me back to 90.
Do you spread the word, my friend?
All right, will do.
Well, okay. All right, there you go. That works, too. Travis, thanks. Appreciate it. Come on. All right. Shall we bring on Jolie?
Thank you. The inner workings of the female mind revealed. It's time for another edition of How Chicks Think. Max 910.
Jeez. How are you, Jolie?
I was just reading the shows that are endangered and might be canceled.
And?
Yeah.
Arrested Development is one of them.
Well, that's
because America has no taste.
Hasn't it already been canceled?
Yeah, that's been on life support forever. Well, they quit production. They didn't cancel it, but they did quit production on it this year because of Seth MacFarlane's American Dad, which, whether it's good or not, and the word is that it's not, this seems like a bad knockoff of Family Guy anyway. That's a guy whose head is so empty he's just creating echoes, clearly.
But yet the Jim Belushi show keeps on ticking.
According to Jim.
Yeah. And how about this one, American Dreams, which I wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
There was a lovely guest star.
Oh, that's that 60s show.
Close to the show.
That's that 60s show where they have contemporary singers pretend to be 60s singers.
Yes.
That's right. Okay.
And so this one was the, he was singing, you know, that one that goes 1, 2, 3, 4, what are we fighting?
Feel Like I'm Fixing
Who's
to Die Rag.
Kyle's favorite?
Wait, hold on. Don't tell me. Is it Art Alexakis?
Yeah.
Oh! That guy got a job?
He was on the show.
He was on the show. He was being Mick Jagger. No, not Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger?
I'm sorry. No. Oh. That was the first one. He was in a little coffee house playing, and he had this big brown wig on, you know, long kind of down here, like with a curl in the back.
Art Alexakis.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That never gets old.
I knew you'd be thrilled.
So was
So
was he singing the Feel Like I'm Fixing to Die Rag? Which is the 1, 2, 3,
yes,
what are we fighting for?
He was playing his guitar on the little stool.
So that the name of that artist is Country Joe McDonald.
Oh yeah.
Country Joe and the Fish, played by Art Alexakis.
Here is the money that I owe you.
And I don't know, the brown hair just does not work for him, or else he's gotten really skinny because his little cheekbones.
It would be wrong of me to speculate.
Like that.
All right. Don't forget, coming up 2 weeks from today, Listener Party 8.
Here is the money that I owe you.
Happening the Viper Room at 8 p.m. 7th and Hawthorne, featuring a dead celebrity costume contest and a live broadcast of the Rick Emerson Show.
And Kyle going straight to hell after everyone sees his costume.
Now, are you still coming?
Yes, he is.
Are you still coming in that costume, which we will not name?
The costume is kind of falling through, but I will. I'll find a way. I will find a way to do it.
What do you mean it's falling through?
The key ingredient may not be able to get that for that day. So,
all right. I bet we can find.
Kyle, we can find one for you.
Yeah, we can find that. All right. All right, Jolie, how are you today? How can I help you? I know you approached me in the hallway with this egg gathering business.
Ew. Since it is Easter.
2 weeks ago.
Are they gonna paint them pink before you sell them?
I don't know.
No. Are they gonna have to go on a hunt for them?
Are they gonna smell like vinegar?
Oh no.
Is that when you dye your eggs in?
This is George Costanza.
Stop.
You dye Easter eggs in vinegar.
You're going to time out for a little while. Sorry.
Do you use the pantyhose too?
Okay. Stop it
what
now.
What is she talking about?
I don't know.
You wrap the eggs in pantyhose and you put the flower, dried flowers in grass, and then you tie them up and you put them in the water.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Easter eggs.
Dried flowers and grass?
No, you go to Safeway and you buy the
one
thing
use
for like
grass when you're doing
and
Easter
eggs.
And
you have
eggs.
A little egg holder that's like the piece of wire.
Yeah,
that's
a little wire thing you
do.
But
I'm giving you a different option, people. This is great.
Wow. Wait, is this like some Wiccan thing where I have to tie a bloodstone and bury it in a moonless night? And
I use the blood of one snake.
A little piece of pantyhose around the egg, and you have put the pretty dried flowers and grass and leaves, and it makes like really pretty shapes like and watercolors.
Oh, this is a hippie thing.
It's a total
this
hippie.
Goes with the Grateful Dead stickers on your car.
Shut up.
Okay.
Many uses of grass.
So anyways.
Wild dog Easter eggs.
All right.
Anyways,
so
I was reading like the back of the magazine.
All I know is that you cornered me in the hallway earlier and you're like, so what do you think about women who sell their eggs? And then it's like, and then he had to go because I had to get back on the air. So I never really heard the.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I'm kind of low on funds and I think you can make up to.
At a radio station? That's
couple,
hard to believe. A
couple grand per, you know.
Per egg.
Well, not per egg, but per, I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything about it. I've never really checked it out.
You have a finite supply of those, though.
Yes, we do. And so I was just thinking, you know, it makes really good money. And but I don't know about the whole moral, ethical factor of having.
Well, the question is, how much would they pay you for those?
Well, I think it's a couple grand.
Each?
Or
not
for,
each,
how,
but,
for how
but
many?
No, like for one egg, they pay that.
Because you've got,
really?
Like, you, the way I figure it, I did quick math in my head. And the way I figure, you've got about 400 of those.
400? I think we have thousands and millions.
There's a finite number.
Here, no. But
there's a finite number because you quit giving them out when you're like 50.
Well, yeah, but
you figure one a month for 35 years. That's about 400.
No. That's just one that drops down from the ovary, Rick.
Yeah,
there's
you don't just
them hiding in your ovaries.
You don't just shed one egg.
Are you? Well,
you said
well, I'm not a chick. I'm not a chick. I don't know. But I mean,
why are we saying shed?
But no. But is it? But there. But I was to understand.
Lining.
I was to understand that your body was set up to produce an X number, and when you were done, you were done. That was my understanding of the situation.
Well, maybe we need to have a doctor call or a nurse practitioner.
Well, I couldn't possibly care less.
But we need to know more about our bodies, Jolie.
Let's talk more about shedding.
It's important.
Okay.
Anyways, I don't know. I mean, I've thought it would be a great idea. Because I think, you know, kids of mine out there would be fabulous. However, I wouldn't want to raise them. So this might be a way for me to get more of me out there.
That's what we want is more of you out there.
I've got so many things running through my mind right now.
All right, so I don't even know where to begin with this. So how much money for how many eggs?
They didn't say how many eggs. They just said how many times you go in and give the egg.
Do you have to go through like a psychological evaluation before you do this? So
seriously.
Don't know. Maybe I need to do some more checking
into
it.
Yeah, I'd be with you on that.
But I'd kind of, I don't know.
I mean, don't they do that for sperm donations?
I would imagine. Let me, hold on. Here's my, first of all, if anybody knows why, okay, why does it say that?
What's going on? She didn't want her name to be revealed, so that's the name she gave me.
I'm not going to call a caller Terry Schiavo.
Oh!
That's not going to happen.
Call her Terry.
All right. Let's everybody stop for a second. Here's how surreal the show has gotten in just the last 90 seconds. Jolie walked in and claimed that she wants to sell her eggs. A woman named Terry Schiavo is calling to talk about that. Brad, the car guy, says, needs to talk about Jolie's eggs.
And the Pope has risen.
Go, 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 kajub. All right. All right. Terry S., hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Okay, so how can you help this conversation today?
I've done it a couple times. It's really pretty, it's not too bad, and you can make $3,000 to $5,000 depending on where you go.
You've done it. So how?
Yeah.
But when you say $3,000 to $5,000, again, is that for?
That's each time you donate.
Each time?
And if you do it successive numbers of times, you get more money each time.
Now, why is that?
Well, if it's successful, they want to bring you back and have you donate again.
How many eggs do they get at one time?
They take like 10 to 15.
Now, is that
you have like 400,000 or 500,000.
Is that just like with a long spoon of some kind, or
no? They go in there with a tube and a little needle, and they just stick into the ovary. You're asleep. It kind of hurts later that day.
Cramping.
Yeah.
Just being stabbed in the ovary.
Yeah, it's just cramping for a day or so, and it's not really any big deal. You do have to give yourself shots for a month or so beforehand.
Well, because it's because you got the cramping every month anyway, regardless, though.
The shots. You have to give the shot in the butt.
It doesn't matter.
No, you have for the first, like, because you get on the pill to cycle with the person that's going to take it in.
Okay.
And
that's weird.
And you have to give yourself little daily shots, either in the stomach or in the thigh.
All I'm saying is, you're getting the cramping every month, and you're not getting paid for it. You're doing that for free, so why not do it for a little cash?
But what about, so do you have to go through, like, psychological testing and all that stuff?
They do one quick one that takes, like, a couple hours just to make sure you're not some raving lunatic.
Yeah, I can answer that question for you right now.
And do you know if there's any little ewes running around the world today?
Possible. The last place I did, they said that they could tell you, and I just opted not to know.
Now that's a serious question I have though, which is is that a thing where, like, you donate your egg, and then let's say you donate your egg and you don't, like, if a guys donate their sperm, and it's like a thing of, like, I'm going to donate this, but I don't want any responsibility. I want the kids tracking me down. But then you always hear about how the kids go back and they get a court order to find out who the parents are, and they track them down. It's like, what if, is that a thing where the kids can come find you later, do you suppose, even if you don't want to be found?
I don't know. It's pretty anonymous. I mean, I guess there's always that.
Well, there's
that
a record, though. I mean, you got to figure.
Somewhere, yeah.
Do you think they send your eggs off to another state?
See, you know, one place, I saw their ad, and I think it's in the, just recently in the Willamette Week, and their paperwork says that you can go, you have to go to where the recipient is, and that could be anywhere, and they'll pay for you to stay in a hotel and an escort, so it's like a free vacation and like $5,000.
We just got an email here from somebody who says they're really picky, they shoot you up with hormones, and you need to be willing to fly to a donor location at the drop of a hat. Seems like a lot of money, but it's also a lot of hassle, this woman says.
Yeah, so, if you can do it locally, too. I did it once here in Portland, and I just went to a clinic here in town, and they all did it right here in town. And, yeah, that's what you're injecting is hormones. In the last week, you do have to do a kind of a butt shot that hurts a little bit.
My question to you is that was in the grand scheme of things, was it worth it?
Yeah, it wasn't any big deal.
Yeah, and you got, you know, a couple grand.
I got, I think, 25 the first time and 35 the second time.
So you got $6,000. That's not bad. Nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, you still have to pay taxes on it and everything, but it's not that bad.
So I have a quick question about it. So it's not like a sperm bank where you go and just leave stuff behind and they take it as they need it. Somebody actually buys your egg.
Oh, it's on demand. It's like a pay-per-view sort of a thing.
No, they match you up with somebody that, you know, likes your profile and you get
Oh, I see. Right. So they don't put it in a deep freeze and just keep it around until somebody orders it.
No, they put you both on birth control pills so your cycles are identical.
So who buys the egg? The person who's getting injected with them or
the clinic?
No, it's the person who's getting injected. And the last place, they gave me a nice little gift.
Steak knives or... a toaster oven?
Actually, there were some baskets and some chocolates and some other things.
Please take this Hickory Farm sample pack and this Whitman sampler. All right. Terry, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. Let's talk to our good friend Brad, the car guy. Hi, Brad. You can't possibly make this any more surreal, so go ahead.
Oh, no, I know. I did have a friend who did this, and this other woman's tolerance of pain must be pretty good because she said it was pretty excruciating for her. So,
they're digging something out of you. That can't feel good.
Yeah, it's not great. Well, I do think this is a perfect kind of judgment of whether it's genetic or environment. We take Jolie's eggs, give them to somebody, and then we'll let somebody else raise the child. If the child grows up to be a shrewish witch, we know it's genetic.
Rad.
This sounds like an exciting new reality program.
Exactly. All right. If the child turns out to be normal, then we know that it's
enough. This is like trading places all over again.
Perfect.
All right, there you go. That's Brad.
But see, I'm worried about, like, if I give my eggs, and let's say that it was a little boy or girl, grew up, and maybe, like, got involved with my niece or nephew. I mean, how... You know, what about the...
What in the hell is wrong with you?
Well, because you don't know where your egg
that
goes
That is a very...
And just, what if they're in college?
You don't want any inbreeding,
someday?
Right?
Well, Likas was talking about this the other day, where there was some lawsuit against a sperm bank because somebody was inadvertently dating, like, their half-sister
I mean, come on.
That could happen.
Yeah, but, you know. It's a risk you take. It's a chance you take.
Hey, look, have you seen how messed up most of the kids are out there that come from people who aren't related? Go to Lloyd Center sometime. Most of the kids are half retarded in the city anyway. It doesn't matter. All right, let's take a break here. We'll talk more about this. Around the corner, we're going to talk about the four worst words you can hear in a movie theater. And my question to you, and we've got some giveaways if you get on the air with this. My question to you is, what do you see in a film trailer that tells you the film is going to be terrible?
Figure out women so you don't have to. Send your questions to How Chicks Think at rickemerson.com. Max 910.